This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Invest Talk. This is October 31st, 2014, the last day of October. Now, remember at the end of September, beginning of October, I said October is known for its being very volatile and putting in a bottom and starting up. Well, it's been extremely volatile, and it looks like it may have put in a bottom, moving back up. Remember today we had data that showed, numbers and the indexes that showed us to a couple of them are new highs as of the close of today. So pretty much what happens in October, the difference in this October is the move up was so fast. That's pretty unusual. But welcome to the Friday edition of Invest Talk. Invest Talk is your partner in pursuing more success. We work, as you know, we work towards financial independence. Everybody does. Justin Klein and myself are portfolio managers. We're principals at KPP Financial, and that's what we do. That's our day job. We set aside this part of the day in early evening, it's on the West Coast, 4 to 5 Pacific time, as to be accessible, to share information, to get ideas from you, to you, and have you have the opportunity to ask questions. We kind of like it. I kind of enjoy it myself. Our number is 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, C-H-A-R-T, and you can call right now. Right now. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time on investtalk.com. You can listen to us on the computer as well. And, of course, you can download podcasts. A few days ago, I wrote my market commentary. I write market commentaries Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday on our website, I put in a market commentary. And a few days ago, the title was Volatility is King. And as we wrap up the month, as I said, I have to repeat that. Volatility is king. I mean, the stock market has collapsed. I don't want to say collapsed because it went down 10%. The market has corrected, came right back. The market acts like a spoiled child from 1 minute to the next on a day-to-day basis. You do not know. Sometimes it's thrash about, making no sense at all. And then sometimes it's in perfect control. But you just don't know. You can't look at it from day to day to day. As I've said, you have to look at averages. You got to step back a little bit and see what's happening. Now, despite the volatility, of course, the breakdown of long-term averages we had a break of all the 200-day moving averages for all the indexes, which is a bear market signal, but we didn't have a bear market because it didn't correct at least 20%, which is what a bear market is, 20% or more on a down from a high. So we had a bear market signal, but like a spoiled child, made all that up. It's just amazing. Now, so don't, for us to have, I think really, for us to move into a bear market, we have to do what Europe is doing. We have to move into some kind of recession, maybe a massive deflation, something like we had in the Great Depression, by the way, we had a massive deflation. Something would have to happen to push the market down. Because earnings are doing pretty good. Our economy is growing pretty nicely. I mean, it's not great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we're great. But, boy, are we far and away better than Europe. And of course, Japan is not doing so good either. Any part of Asia isn't. So, I mean, look at South America. Tell me what part of the world is doing great. No part of the world is doing great. The best part of the world is doing the best is us. That's the way it is right now. Will the rest of the world drag us down? That is the $94 million question. Will the rest of the world drag us down? And I have my doubts. Remember, we're pretty big. It's pretty hard to... You might be able to slow our growth. I just don't think that they'll be able to push us into recession. We'd have to have some kind of push from inside our country. And I have been saying all year long, starting with my annual letter in January, late January, that what's going to happen this year has to come from outside the United States. For us to have big problems in our stock market, it has to come from outside the United States, not inside. We should be fine this year. and that's turning out to be true. So, you know, it's not going to change in the next 2 months. I don't see it. So how about you? Has the volatility been very disturbing, or are you desensitized to it? Remember, the market can get used to anything. We'll get used to the volatility. Well, it'll get used to it. Now let's hear from you. What's your comments? You can call right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time on Invest Talk or in between program times. You could do that. Here's the first question of the day from our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve and Justin. It's Jim. Listen to your show on podcast. And I have a question that may be a little confusing, but I hope you understand what I'm saying. If you draw $15,000 out of an IRA or 401 for the year, I know this may be rare, but you have no other income, no Social Security or job or any pensions, and the standard deduction, let's just say at the time, is $15,000. Would you still owe taxes, or is that you can't use standard deductions against 401s or anything like that? I'll wait to hear for your answer. Thank you.
Okay, that's a good question. If you only had $15,000 in income drawn from your 401k IRA, and that's it, and you're in retirement, you're at the retirement age, so there's no penalty, withdraw it, then that is your income for the year, and it's taxed at a $15,000 adjusted gross income. So you probably wouldn't have to pay any income tax on that because it's too low. So no, you wouldn't have to pay income tax on that, most likely, if that's your only source of income. No, because you're below the tax rate for the first bracket. So yeah, it's such a thing that no one ever thinks about, but that's a good question. But remember, when you withdraw from an IRA or 401k in retirement, whatever it is, that is income. It's added to whatever other income you have. If you don't, and that's the only income, well, think of it as a paycheck. That's how much you made. How much taxes do you owe on it? See, so it might be so low that you owe nothing. Okay. That's what it does. You owe nothing. Good question. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What's on your mind? What do you guys want to talk about? The market today rose 196 points on the Dow, 65 points on the NASDAQ, and 23 points on the S&P. The Dow and the S&P made new highs. Just barely, but they did. They broke it. But not the NASDAQ and not the Russell 2000, not the small caps. So why did they do that? Why did the market rally today? Well, you can think about Japan. Japan did it today. Japan expanded their QE today. It was a surprise to everybody. Really was. Now, what we're going to talk about on our talking points today is too much information concerning stocks. Too much information. What do you do with all that information? Can you do anything with it? That's going to be our main talking point. I also want to discuss this week's big news that happened that pushed market this week. There's a few big things. What Vanguard worries about. It's a conversation with the CEO. What are they worried about? And Vanguard, of course, is the world's largest mutual fund family. But what are some of the concerns that they have? Baby boomers not downsizing. I'm talking about housing. There was a survey and a study for an 18-month study. I also want to talk about daylight savings time coming up this weekend, November 2nd. Got to reset your clock. Excuse me. And oil. Did you see how oil bumped down below $80 a barrel for part of the day today before it recovered $80 a barrel? Remember what it was just, 3 months ago, like 107? It's down 27% or so. Will it go below 80? And Justin and I have a bet. By the end of the year, he thinks it will be below 80. I think it'll be at 80 or a little above. But that doesn't mean it won't spike down. Up or down. But most likely, I think it'll spike down, not up. But I don't think it'll stay down. And I have my reasons. He has his reasons. What do you think? Those are things we're going to talk about. What's on your mind? Remember, the market is now recovered, or just now has recovered as of today, all of its correction. All of its correction. The Russell 2000 is still down for the year, but just barely, if I remember right. The S&P, the Dow, and the NASDAQ are up a bit from the year. But not greatly, but they're up in the mid-single digits, somewhere around there. Remember what happened last year? The market was up 25% plus. This year, what, 5, 6% maybe so far? What is it going to end? I'll tell you what I put in my annual letter that I sent in January about the market. I said this year was going to be far different than last year. Well, that's true. And I said the market may be up, but it also can be very close to being flat. So I predicted the market was going to be flat to slightly up by the end of the year. Well, I could be wrong, because it might be more than just slightly up. Slightly up. I also said the oil was going to be down in the low 80s. But and remember, that's when the oils were in the high 90s. I said that. So we'll see. I hold my own feet to the fire, because I write these things down. I send these letters to my clients. I send them once a year, my annual letter. And then I go back in the next year and say, and remind them what I said in the last year, and point out where I was wrong or where I was right and why. And then I make my prognostications for the year ahead. And believe me, it is prognostication. It is a prediction. It is prediction based on, you know, what I know about the economy, that, and then what I try to project. So I am never going to be right 100%. It's not going to happen. The question is, are you more right or wrong? That's really what you are. Are you more right or are you more wrong? And are you consistent in being more right and being more wrong? Because no one is ever right. I just find it interesting and entertaining for myself to look back. There's another way to get to the conversation, by the way. If you want to talk, instead of here listening to me talk all day, you can send me a message via Twitter at investtalk.com. That's with two T's. And, of course, can call our 24-hour listener line. We're live right now at 888-99-CHART. And I would personally like to hear your voice.
This is Invest Talk. Some words of wisdom to share. You get recessions, you have a stock market decline. If you don't understand that's going to happen, then you're not ready. You won't do well in the markets. Peter Lynch. Once again on Invest Talk, here is money manager Steve Peasley.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Gene in North Carolina. Beautiful place, North Carolina. How you doing, Gene?
Just fine.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I had a question about the voicemail you just answered about taking out $15,000
sure.
out of the 401k.
Sure.
If that was the only income, if the person was under 59 and a half, would they still need to be paying a 10% or 12% penalty?
Yes. If you take it out before you retire, you have to pay the penalty, even if that's only income.
Right. So they may not. He may not need to pay federal taxes, but he may need to pay a penalty.
Correct. Now, I'm not an expert on this, Gene, but that's how I read the law, and I've read it a couple, three times just recently. You will have to pay the penalty if you take it out before official retirement age, but you won't be paying any income tax, because you make so little. If that's all it is $15,000, that you don't even make the minimum bracket, so you don't pay any income tax. Thanks for the call, Gene. Thanks for listening to us on our podcast. I appreciate that. Big news on the corporate front. American Express customers whose reward points are just too meager for flights, ballet tickets, or even a yoga mat, you have other options. How about McDonald's food? 888-99-CHART.
Coming up on the next Invest Talk, investors still have a difficult time figuring out what they'll pay for financial advice, mutual funds, and retirement plans. An Investor's Guide to Fees and Expenses for 2014. We hope you'll listen to that podcast. And a reminder to join in the discussion. We're live between 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you can, give us a call at 888-99-CHART. And thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. We continue now with Invest Talk. Maybe your employer would like to know how they can improve your 401k and cut down on their workload. Well, go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Justin, and on the message, just write 401k, and you'll get some useful information in return. Now, once again, here is money manager Steve Peasley.
888-99-CHART. Give me a call. We'll talk about the market. Let's talk to Sanjay in San Francisco. We'll talk about 3D Systems Corporation. How you doing, Sanjay?
Doing good. Just wanted to know your opinion on 3D Systems, DDD.
Okay.
Where it's going to go from here.
Yeah, someone called yesterday.
I'll take my call offline.
Okay, that's fine. Someone called about 3DDD. That's the symbol of 3D Systems Corporation. Remember, they're the company that manufactures printing, prototyping, manufacturing system through printing. You know, they can three-dimensional printing, making parts. It's a new manufacturing system. And 3D was $95, $97, whatever it was earlier this year, and now it's at $37. Someone called yesterday, and we said, even though it's, you know, it's come way down. Remember, it was way expensive back then. We said so, you know, a year ago. We said, wait, this is too expensive. It's still expensive. It's going to make $1.06 next year. Its growth is slowing, but it's still growing, 25% sales per quarter. Earnings are going to go down to 74 cents per share this year from 85 cents last year. Then next year, it's going to rebound to $1.06. So it is going to stop falling at some point, but we don't know if it's there yet. I would not be anxious to jump in. It was up 80 cents today to $37.80. But it's been, you know, it fell sharply, gapped down a couple weeks ago, and it's now just kind of churning sideways. Kind of want to wait to see if it starts to come back up first before you test it. The company is making money, is doing fine, but our biggest worry is I know that some big competitors, and what is their competitive advantage, 3D Systems, that someone else doesn't have? So I just be patient on it. I wait for it. Had to be for me. It had to be much cheaper for me to even think about it. Appreciate the call. DDD is a symbol. Let's go to Dan in San Diego. What do you want to talk about, Dan? Thanks for calling.
Hi, Steve. I got a basic question for you.
Sure.
When I'm doing basic research, I always see stocks. They talk about shares outstanding.
Yes.
And then they talk about the float.
Yes.
Always two different numbers. Now, I'm wondering which number is used for calculations. What's the difference? And which number is used for calculations, like earnings per figuring earnings per share, that kind of thing? If you could address that, please.
Okay. There is different ways to, let's see. Shares outstanding, Dan, are those shares that are out there traded. Okay.
Okay.
They trade in the market. Shares in the float is pretty much the same thing. But I don't want to say it's exactly the same thing. I don't. Because.
Yeah, the numbers are always different.
Yeah. Because many of those shares could be held on the books in the corporation. In other words, they're on the books. And the corporation can use them like cash and put them out to trade. So there could be in the shares that are outstanding and traded. So you got to be real careful. And I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure. I hate saying I know something for a fact when I really don't know. I haven't looked it up in so long. But I do think it's whatever shares are in the float. For instance, the shares in the float on 3D system is 103 million. Shares outstanding are 109 million.
Uh-huh.
So I would think that, therefore, 6 million shares are probably held by the company or in reserve or could be used to put out there in the marketplace. And I would think the higher number would be the number that they do the earnings per share figure.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much, Steve. I told you it was going to be basic.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate the call. Let's go to Brandon in Mill Valley. How are you doing, Brandon?
I'm doing good, Steve. Happy Halloween. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
So I'm interested in PAY, Verifone Systems, what your thoughts are on them.
Verifone Systems, everybody. It provides point-of-sale electronic payment processing devices for debit cards, credit cards, mobile. I kind of like this area. I was looking at VeriSign today. VeriSign, this is Verifone. They're kind of the same, in the same kind of business. For the same reason, and I have a question for you, Brandon. Do you think that Apple's new phone pay system is going to help these companies or hurt them?
And it's my understanding Verifone has the type of technology that they demand to function.
I kind of like the company. It's a little bit on the expensive side, but they're gonna make $1.48 per share this year, but then make $1.99 next year. That's 34% increase. So, and sales are starting to pick up. They were growing only 9% last quarter, but up 14% this quarter. I kind of like it, but the PE is pretty high at 27. But it's going to be in the 20s or even the high teens at $1.99 a share. So I kind of like it, Brandon. And it looks like it's breaking out. I would want it to break above of like $38.50 before I buy it to see if it breaks out. Thanks for the call, Brandon. For a second opinion on your retirement portfolio, hook up with me for an individual retirement review. These are informal meetings where we can look at your documents and just sit down and talk about where you're going to go in retirement. How are you set? Or do you have enough money? What should you do with it? So give me a call if you want to set up an appointment. 888-99-CHART. You can follow the prompts.
This is the Friday, October 31st edition of Invest Talk with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. Investors still have a difficult time figuring out what they'll pay for financial advice, mutual funds, and retirement plans. An Investor's Guide to Fees and Expenses for 2014. That's our talking point for the next Invest Talk. Please join us then. And now, to get in touch with Steve, just call 888-99-CHART.
Let's talk about data overload. You know, we've mentioned that you can almost find anything, all the information you ever want to know on the internet about companies, economies. The statistics are everywhere. And in fact, because of the internet. But in fact, it's so much statistics, it almost is a disservice. Because you now have to search all that information, but does all that information really give you what you need? See, because almost 100% of it is backward-looking. It tells you what has happened, what the numbers are in the economy. Almost all of those look backward. The numbers on the corporations, earnings and profits and profit margins, all of it is in the rearview mirror. And remember, all these statistics is available to everybody, not just you. And people like me have software to analyze all of it. Consistently, every day. Do you have that? Even with all that advantage I have on you, I'm still telling you, you can be just as successful as a professional. I'm still telling you that. Why am I telling you that? Because the very reason all this data is available, everybody knows it, all the professionals knows it, everybody's already reacted to all the data they have seen. That's not where you're going to make the money. You don't make your money looking in the past. You make your money looking in the future. And let's say a money manager or a big corporation has found out some secret way to make the money by looking in the future in that crystal ball. Almost instantly, everybody else will know it, and everybody else will apply it, and then it won't work. So what does work? You have to look forward. As I always tell you, you have to look forward. You have to use some. So what really works best is throwing in all that statistics and trying to predict the future. That's what you're trying to do, has some kind of predictability. But also understand human nature. Understand the emotions of the market. And that's where it gets very fuzzy, very difficult. But that's where you can make the money. You know, what is the being predictive of some type, and you can use backward-looking data to show you the different moves in the market based on different statistics that were viewed by investors and used. Whether they're, you know, if they see that the Federal Reserve is tightening money, well, that's usually a predictive of an economy that will shrink. Is the Federal Reserve tightening money? See, so I just want to point out that all the statistics that you have, is you do have to read it, you do have to understand it, but it doesn't necessarily give you or anybody the ability to predict what's going to happen in the future. Let's talk to Mike in San Jose. And by the way, congratulations to you guys up there in the Bay Area for winning the World Series. My Angels.
Thank you.
You know, that was great. But my Angels didn't get very far, even though they had the best record in baseball. It was kind of worthless. When you get to the playoffs, it starts all over. But congratulations. Yes.
Thank you very much. Go Giants.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about
the question I had?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, GDX, please.
Yeah, time to exit, you know, that broke down a couple days ago, and gold is breaking down mainly because of Japan today. And the last couple of days, the dollar, king dollar, dollar's going up, gold goes down. I think you just have to give up on gold for the time being. I think gold's going to go to 1,000, my personal belief. So I think you got to give up on gold for the time being. Just wait till it settles down and starts back up.
Okay.
GDX is the symbol for the ETF, the gold miners. And as long as everybody is trying to weaken their currencies to try to spark inflation, as long as we don't have inflation, they continue to weaken, and we in the United States don't try to weaken our currency, gold's not going to work. What works with gold? Inflation works with gold. Fear works with gold. A dollar that is falling works for gold. We don't have inflation. We have very little fear, it seems like, and the dollar's getting stronger. So, you know, I felt that, you know, we felt that gold would probably find support and that the dollar got strong and it may be about all it will do. But then you had a surprise announcement today by Japan and then it broke up new highs. Oh, I think you just got to say, okay, I'm not going to fight the trend here. The trend is back up, so let's leave. And that's what we're doing. We're going to slowly leave. We've already left several of our gold positions. So we're going to leave some more. Our podcast listeners from all over the world download our program. If you'd like to join them, you can subscribe for free on iTunes. If you have a question for us, you can always ask at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Jason from Rochester calling. Love your show. I'm a young investor with a very long time horizon, and I prefer passive investments, mutual funds, or ETFs. Currently, 17% of my fund is in Thomas White International Fund, TWWDX. That's TWWDX. And the rest is in an ETF that's an index fund that covers the whole U.S. stock market and cash. I'm calling to see what you think of the Thomas White Fund. It's been underperforming lately, and I was wondering if you think I should switch to another fund. Thanks.
Well, the problem with it underperforming, remember, is Thomas White, and I don't know anything about Thomas White, by the way, international. The word international means they're buying stocks around the world. The big companies that trade everywhere are companies in other parts of the world. Other parts of the world are stinking. There's very few stock markets other than the U.S. that are doing very good. So, will an international stock market work? Will an international? Yeah, it can work. But as long as the rest of the world is not doing very well, it probably will underperform. Does that mean you should get out of it? Not necessarily. You tell me you're a very long horizon investor, then you just, if this is the best international fund, you stick with this. I don't know anything about Thomas White. I don't. But if it's a very good fund, you stay with it. You say, okay, look, yeah, there's going to be times that it doesn't work, and this is one of those times. But eventually, it will come back, and it will work. You want something. What you're trying to do is get a little bit of diversification. But you're very young, so you want to stay in the riskier parts of the market over long periods. Just know that you'll go through periods where the market falls and crashes, and can you keep investing when that happens? If you say you can't, that's not a good thing. You need to keep investing when you're young. Just keep doing it. It's time for InvestTalk 101. Load or no load? What is a load? What's a no load? Do you know what that means? So let's test your basic money management smarts. A no-load mutual fund is one that, A, carries no fees, B, carries no sales charges, C, does not contain high-risk securities, D, has no limits on the period of time in which it can be bought and sold. What's the correct answer? What is a no-load mutual fund? What characterizes a no-load? Okay, the answer is B. It has no sales charge. Every mutual fund has a fee, but not all of them have a sales charge. In other words, when you buy it, you have to pay a commission to somebody. An A share loaded fund is a 5% commission up front. They really shouldn't be called load or no load. They should be called charge or no charge, because that everybody knows those terms. Not everybody knows what load means. Load means a fee, a charge to buy it. Okay, so when you buy a loaded fund, you're paying a fee to somebody. Someone is selling that to you, and you're paying a fee. There's absolutely no reason for you to buy a loaded fund, because there's just as many no-load funds as there are loaded funds. Why would you then buy it? Why that do the same thing? Why pay something? The only reason you pay for something is someone is advising you, and they want to make a fee off you. Now, I'm not saying that if you're being advised by something, they shouldn't get some kind of earnings from that, but these fees are pretty expensive, so be very careful. You can always buy no-load funds. And that's InvestTalk 101. Thanks for our friends at Kiplinger.com for the quiz question. That's where it came from. Now, is there a topic you want to know more about? Get in touch. We're here right now, 888-99-CHART. Or you can write me a note, click on Contact Steve, or you can contact Justin at InvestTalk.com.
We want you to know that you're welcome to become one of our InvestTalk insiders. There's no fee, it's free, and it just gets you connected to some of the extras that you might find useful. You'll be able to play back our webinars at your convenience. There are several now to choose from. You can also gain access to special updates and articles from Steve. To sign up, just go to investtalk.com and look for Insiders.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Jay in Fremont. How are you doing, Jay?
Hi, Steve. Steve, I wanted to know if Priceline is a good buy at this price.
Actually, I even though I still think it's a little expensive, I think it is a good buy at this price. I think that, and everybody, you know, don't think it's the price of the stock is low. It's Priceline, PCLN. It's PCLN. Priceline provides airline ticket, hotel room, car rental, vacation package, cruise services through Priceline.com. The stock is at $1,206 a share. Okay, and it was up nicely today. It was up $59, almost $60 today. It fell to 1,031, and it's starting to come back. It's come back now. It's 1,206 from 1,031, and that was just about 3 weeks ago, three weeks ago. Now, the high has been a little over 1,350 this year, so it's coming back, and I kind of like it. They're growing 25% plus per quarter, their sales. Same as earnings, 25% per year. Earnings are growing for the next 2 years. The PE is 25. This tells me that it's a reasonable price at the earnings that they're doing. So I kind of like it right kind of where it is. This is where you know, it's right near the 200-day moving average. You might get a little bump down, and that would be a place to buy. I kind of like it here, Jay. PCLM.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Claymont in San Diego. How you doing, Claymont?
Clayman.
I'm sorry. How you doing?
That's okay. Quick question for you, Steve. You were just talking about all the information that's available.
Yes.
Now, I try to read. I don't read as much as you do, but I have to. I do read, like, Investor Business Daily, Financial Times, Wall Street.
Me too.
So my question is, because you read a lot.
Yes.
Now, I just don't have the time to do all that much reading, but you're in the business to do that.
That's right.
If you had to narrow it down to just five publications or just information on the Internet what would be your top five for someone who just wants to keep learning, but like you said, inundated with so much of this?
Yeah. Well, on the internet, I like two websites. One I like more than the other, and that would be MarketWatch.com. MarketWatch. Not only they give you updated information, but they give enough opinions that are on both sides of the aisle. You know, one's a bull, one's a bear. Another one's a bull, another bear. So at least I get not all bullish and not all bearish. In physical publications, my favorite magazine is The Economist.
Okay, I've seen The Economist.
That comes out of Europe, by the way. I think it's produced by London. And you can tell by the way it's written, because there's certain terminology that's different than ours. And, okay. And it's kind of... every so often you get, oh, that's kind of a weird word to put there. Mm-hmm. But remember where it's coming from. It's coming from London. And I kind of like that because their perception is a little bit different than our perception. So when I read the newspapers, and I read two pretty religiously, and that would be Wall Street Journal and Financial Times. Okay. But I do also read IBD. I mean, you asked me for the ones I like the best. Those are the ones I make sure I read. And I do like, I also always flip over to Yahoo Finance, too.
Yeah, I do that as well.
Now, if you want really good fundamentals of a company and a good search engine, Finviz.com.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about that.
I'm amazed that they're giving you so much power for nothing. I like it.
Yeah, I've gone there. You're right. They give you a lot.
They do give you a lot.
They give you a lot. Okay.
Appreciate the call.
That helps me out. Thanks.
No problem. Thank you. Okay, got to turn back the clocks this weekend, everybody. November 2nd. Okay, that's Sunday. At 2 a.m. Now, I'm just going to throw this out there. Why 2 a.m.? I mean, it's specific. It's not like, well, it's sometime during the evening, maybe midnight to 3, somewhere in there, turn your clock back. No, 2 a.m., that's when you do it. You do it at 2 a.m. There might be something important about that. I just don't know what it is. And do you know the two states in the United States that do not have daylight savings time? That would be a good quiz question. Because I think many people know that Arizona doesn't. But do you know the other state that doesn't? Hawaii. Also, America, Samoa doesn't have daylight savings times. Guam, Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, no daylight savings times. Just so you know, kind of fun fact. 2 a.m. on Sunday, move the clocks back. I don't really like daylight savings times. If you want my personal opinion, I wish they should leave it alone. Who do you think is the highest, biggest oil producers in the world? Not in the United States. I'm not talking about companies. I'm talking about countries, not companies. Which ones? And I'll tell you, the top three producers produce twice as much as the next 10, 15, all the others. It's the top three. Who do you think the top three are? Quiz question. We have just about a lot. We just have a few minutes, but there's still, the line is open. We got a line open. 888-99-CHART. Do you have a question about one of our topics? Call me at 888-99-CHART.
Thanks for being a podcast subscriber. And even though you listen after our daily production time, you can still be part of the discussion. Your questions and comments set the tone and the topics, so please participate. Just call 888-99-CHART anytime. And if you'd like to talk live to Steve and Justin, just make that call between 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific time. Listening to Invest Talk, and we're glad you're with us this hour. Whether your question is about a stock, mutual fund, or a strategy for catching up, the lines are open right now. We'll stop everything to talk about what's on your mind. You can reach Steve at 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Andy in Milipitas. How you doing, Andy? Andy, you there? Oh, he wanted to talk about oil producers. Okay, I'll talk about oil a little bit. What countries What are the top three countries of oil producers? And why do I mention three? Because each one of these countries produce twice as much as the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th. Every other country, these three countries produce twice as much. Which one's the biggest? And I don't think most people realize that the biggest producer of oil in the world, what country, is the United States. We're number one. Number two is Saudi Arabia, and number three is Russia. Then it drops dramatically, less than half of what we make, less than half, almost not even quite, you know, maybe 35% is China, then Canada, and then a bunch of smaller countries. Mexico's way down there. But what's also interesting is, okay, we produce a ton of oil, just like Saudi Arabia and Russia. But of those three, who do you think is increasing their supply the most year over year? Of all the countries that are producers of oil, who's increasing their supply the most? We are. It increased 11.1% last year. The closest country to that was Canada at 5.6%. Isn't that interesting? I mean, Russia increased its supply 1.3%. Saudi Arabia decreased their supply by 1%. Interesting. Also, what's interesting is these oil-producing countries. All these oil-producing countries use oil to run their country, right? So there is a certain break-even point for them to make money on their oil. They have to, because they subsidize oil, gasoline or home heating oil, many countries, break-even point is about $100 a barrel, $110 a barrel. They need a high pricey oil. They need it. Interesting. Let's go to David in Richmond. How you doing, David?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I had a question about Mercado Libre, MPLI. I just wanted to know, what do you think about it? I heard that their revenue went from $60 million to $500 million, and I'm expecting it to do great in Latin America. So I just wanted to know your opinion.
Okay, this is a provider online marketplace and electronic payment service in Latin America via MercadoLibre.com. It's like eBay, okay, for the Latin America argument. It's out of Argentina. They're growing their sales, like increased their sales from 12% 3 quarters ago to 20% now. So the sales are really growing, and profits are growing, going to be spiking up next year. From $1.47 a share to $3 a share. Now, don't get carried away. Last year, 2015, they made $2.80. So it went from $2.80 down to $1.47 this year. Then they're going to rebound next year to $3. So, you know, you had that kind of wild ride. And the stock spiked up today, just spiked up. It was around $111, $112 yesterday, and today it's $136, up 20 bucks. You know, that's huge. What, 18% increase in one day? Probably because of earnings. Probably had a very good number. The company looks very strong. Return on equity, 39%. Before today, I mean, it was at the low end of its five-year P.E. range of 27. And now it's going to make $3 next year. So what's $3 and 136? It gives you your P.E. ratio. So it's not cheap. It's just not cheap. But it's got great numbers, great fundamentals. That spike up, very often some of that is given back, and then that might give you an opportunity to get into it, David. But it looks like a very good company. Okay? Thanks for the call. Okay. We don't have much time. What were the big news items this week? Well, we dropped QE. The U.S. dropped QE at the same time. Yes, today, Japan increased their QE. That's what helped the market because it helped the dollar. Those are the two biggest items. And, of course, the GDP number this week for a third quarter was up 3.5%. That was also a big number, big news. We had a pretty good economic news week for us here in the United States. Before we close for the hour, our Wealth Workshop webinar is coming up on November 12th at 6:30 p.m. It's free, but you need to register at investtalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley on behalf of Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial. We thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.